fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Today, we finish up our position rankings in dynasty formats, and we've got wide receivers for you, including a little draft we're going to do in just a few minutes. I am Adam Azer. I want to apologize for not podcasting on Monday or Tuesday. Monday was Memorial Day, and Tuesday was my recovery from Memorial Day weekend. But we've got one today and one tomorrow, and here's Dave Richard. Hello, Dave.
What's up, Adam? You and I were in the same town this past weekend for different reasons, and I didn't run into you, and I didn't hear any bad things about you.
No, it was a good. We were both in Chicago. I was there for a wedding. What were you there for?
I was celebrating my wife's birthday.
Aww.
She is also a fellow Chicagoan.
Yeah, very cool. Heath, I already know the answer because I asked you on Fantasy Baseball Today, but on Fantasy Football Today, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
Let's not bury the lead here. Why did you need a recovery day on Tuesday?
Heath, have you ever been to wedding before?
You know why, Heath. You know, I know why,
but the people deserve to know what Adam Azer experienced for the first time in his life over the weekend.
Dave, I had my first taste of whiskey.
All right.
No, not all right. It was the worst thing I've ever had. It was
awful. Are you kidding? Well, it depends on the brand.
It was great. It was Johnny Walker Black.
Oh, that's good.
I was told that if you put ice in it, it makes it less severe, and there was no ice in this.
Well, like, do you put the ice in it and then drink it immediately? Because then it won't matter.
I put a little splash of water in my whiskey, but no ice.
Okay, well, it was terrible. I hated it. It was just like a kind of a long weekend with a lot of travel. But I did, I'll just tell this story real quick. So I gave the best man speech. There were two best men. And my friend Josh went first. But since it was in Chicago, there was a lot of Chicago natives. So I said, Josh is going to go first, but I told him I'd warm up the crowd real quick. So just a couple things. New York pizza's better and LeBron's better than Jordan. All right, Josh, you're up. Then I turned him over to a booing crowd. We had a good time. That was fun. Let's do a draft.
You don't really believe those things, do you?
Oh, well, the pizza thing, 1,000,000,000% is true. I actually do think LeBron is better than Jordan. Yeah.
I'm not getting into the LeBron-Jordan debate now.
That's just factual. You're right, Adam.
Yeah, I think I'm right.
About both things?
The LeBron-Jordan thing.
You know, I almost think that both topics are similar in this way. It's hard to compare the two.
I don't know what New York pizza is.
It's you have
regular,
New York pizza all the time.
Thin, big slices made by some guy who looks like he hasn't showered in 3 weeks.
Adam.
Well, now, Adam showers at least a couple of times a week.
Yeah, actually, I had gone a very long time. I had to shower today. But
whereas Chicago pizza is this big, thick.
It's just not as good.
I've had Chicago pizza,
and it's delicious.
It's just not as good.
Delicious,
it is delicious, but it's just not as good. It just isn't.
Goes great with a glass of whiskey.
And I really,
what really makes me mad is when I go to a restaurant and they serve New York strip steak when they actually mean Kansas City strip steak.
I can't comment. I have absolutely no idea. I'm ignorant in the steak game.
Yeah.
I think I like, you know, this is the second time I've been to Chicago, and I think I like Chicago better than New York. Of course, I've never been there for a weekend, but the food, I mean, for a winter, sorry. But the food is not even close. Like, the New York food is just a lot better. All right.
Well, both are great for food. The winters are far more mild in New York than in Chicago. Traffic is terrible in both. And there's a lot to do in both cities, but there's probably a little bit more to do in New York than in Chicago.
You have much more expertise than I do. Now let's see how we do with our dynasty wide receiver draft. So we're just pretending we're doing a startup dynasty league, and we are only drafting wide receivers. No Jamie today. Jamie will be on tomorrow. So it's the three of us, and I think we should do 5 picks each. I think we should do 15 total. Heath 1, me 2, Dave 3. We'll snake it. Heath, you have
the
first pick.
Wait, we didn't use snake on the running back draft.
All right, we don't have to snake it then.
Why did I pick 3? I wanted 3 so I would get the 3-4 turn.
I will take Odell Beckham with the first overall pick, Adam.
Beckham 1. I will take DeAndre Hopkins 2.
I quit. No, it's
All right, snake it. We'll snake it.
Well, if I'm going to snake it, then I'll feel a little bit better about just going to win now and not trying to get young receivers and do something foolish. Remember, receivers last a lot longer than running backs do in the NFL. So give me Brown and Julio. Combined age, 59 years.
That is true. Brown, 30. Julio, 29. Whereas Beckham is 25. And Hopkins will be 26 years old in June, which is right around the corner. So Beckham, Hopkins, Brown, Julio. Also, I don't know that you should approach it as like your swing picks are both on your team. We're just doing this for the sake of rankings. So
I want a team with
Brown.
That's
why
and
maybe
Julio
we shouldn't do it, Snake.
Yes, well, we can do Snake just for fun, but just don't consider them both on your team.
Would you take Julio if I took Brown third, Adam?
Well, I have the you're right. I have the pick. No, I think I'd take Michael Thomas. Okay, so well, before I do that, how about I tell you just kind of what some of the great wide receivers in NFL history did in their 30s. So Randy Moss had 1,264 yards and 13 touchdowns at age 32. Calvin Johnson retired at age 30. Terrell Owens was a beast at age 31, 32, 33, and 34. He slowed down, and then he had 10 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards at age 35. He slowed down at age 36. Marvin Harrison, also a beast through age 34, and not so good after that. Jerry Rice was ridiculous. Jerry Rice was good at age 40. He had 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns on 92 catches at age 40. And Reggie Wayne, age 34, 1,355 yards and 5 touchdowns, and then not very good at age 35 and 6. So, you know, looking at Owens, at Marvin Harrison, at Jerry Rice, at Reggie Wayne, these guys were very good up till age 34, and then some of them started to kind of fade at age 35. If that's the case, you could still have 4 more great years of Antonio Brown, 5 more great years of Julio Jones. I don't know that you should knock them at all if that's the case, but it is asking a lot. Plus, you could have 10 more good years of Odell Beckham. Anyway, we have Beckham, Hopkins, Brown, Julio, and I will take Michael Thomas 5th.
I was hoping that Michael Thomas would fall to me. I will take Mike Evans with the 6th pick and A.J. Green at 7.
Those are two really interesting ones. So Evans is 25. Green is going to be 30 in July. I found him to be one of the tougher ones, Heath, A.J. Green, who you have as number 7 so far in this draft.
Yeah, I don't think there is that big of difference between Julio Jones and A.J. Green. And there's not any difference in age, maybe a couple of months difference in age. So I'm perfectly comfortable with taking AJ Green there.
I think a lot of people are going to be sour to take AJ Green after last year.
Agreed. Yep.
And that's a mistake. This is for redraft leagues. This isn't just for dynasty. He's a really good player and he's proven to put up very nice numbers with Andy Dalton. Dalton's going to have better protection this year. I think Cincinnati is still going to have to throw a lot this year. Green's going to be at the other end of a ton of targets. Don't forget about him. Don't treat him like he's dirt, please. It's A.J. Green.
So what do you think happened last year with A.J. Green? Why do you think he disappointed? He had 75 catches, 1,078 yards, and 8 touchdowns on 145 targets.
Which I think it's really fun that, like, what went wrong with A.J. Green last year? He had 75 catches for 1,078 yards and 8 touchdowns.
He right. had a catch rate of 52.4%.
But we know that. We know that's
just forgot
that
how to catch the football.
Andy Dalton was not as good.
Why do you think that is?
Because the offensive line was awful. Bingo. And I will also say that there were times down the stretch where AJ Green did not look particularly interested in putting himself on the line for the product that he was performing for.
Pretty much his average 9 targets per game over the course of his career.
You look at the last month and things got pretty bad.
Yeah.
Especially that game against Baltimore. We caught 2 of 10 of targets.
Not bad enough for Marvin Lewis to lose his job, but pretty bad nonetheless.
Okay. And I don't know that people will know this. I mean, it was a little surprising, I guess, to me that AJ Green and Antonio Brown are basically the same age. You know, people worry about Antonio Brown being in the decline phase. Green is 3 weeks younger than Antonio Brown. All right, so off the board so far, Beckham, Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, AJ Green. That means I'm up. Ah, whoo. Gets tough here.
This is where it gets really interesting because I think you could take a receiver as low as like my number 16 and I would understand it.
I'm between Keenan Allen and Davante Adams.
Me too.
I will take, I believe in Davante Adams. I will take Davante Adams. And I believe in Aaron Rodgers.
That's a good combination to believe in. Am I next for one or two? I forgot when I was snaking around. Keenan Allen is my slam dunk next pick. And do I have it right that Keenan Allen is 26 years old?
Yeah, that's what I have.
It feels like he's closer to 30 than 25.
It does?
To me, it does. I feel like he's been in the league a long time.
Well, he has been. I think he was pretty young when he came into the league.
Well, I love this about Keenan Allen. So getting him on my team, on one of my teams, since we're not, they're not, obviously not all on the same team, he's certainly one of the first 10 receivers you'll see taken. And I'm over the moon for Tyreek Hill. I think he's going to be a speedy guy in the NFL for a long time who gets a lot of targets. Love the Kansas City situation that he's in. I think Kansas City is going to be throwing a lot this year. So Tyreek Hill is next.
So we've made 10 picks, and we've exhausted my top 10 in dynasty rankings.
Not to mention my top 10 in seasonal rankings.
Right, right. And that's the thing. All these wide receivers are still pretty young.
There is one of my top 10 in seasonal rankings that hasn't been taken yet.
I think I know who it is.
I don't have Doug Baldwin. I'm guessing it's Baldwin. I'm not going to take him here.
It's not Baldwin.
Okay.
Oh, that's who I was going to say it was.
So, all right. So here are the 10. Beckham, Hopkins, Brown, Julio, Thomas, Evans, Green, Adams, Allen, and Hill. And this is why I want to do 15 instead of 12, because it does start to get more challenging here. Some of the guys I'm considering that maybe you'll laugh at, Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs, T.Y. Hilton, Josh Gordon, Alshon Jeffrey. I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna take.
You're gonna say Brandon Cooks.
I'm gonna take Brandon Cooks. I think that he has a big year with Goff. I think they re-sign him. What I'm trying to do is pair young emerging quarterback and wide receiver. This is dynasty we're talking here, so. I know that Jamie would not agree with this, but I think Cooks is set up for a nice run with the Rams.
Yeah, I'm probably discounting Cooks because of his situation on the Rams, just because they are going to spread the ball around.
And if for whatever reason he doesn't sign a new contract with them, then next year, whatever team he ends up on will be his fourth different team in as many years. Kind of a red flag. It was a red flag when the Saints traded him to the Patriots, although the Saints got a lot for him. And it was a red flag when the Patriots traded him to the Rams.
Where do you have Brandon Cooks in your ranking?
I have him at 16. So okay. I don't think it was a bad pick. I'm probably discounting him more because I don't know that he gets the huge target numbers. I'm going to take a guy that I think is going to get the huge target numbers and just throw a football, please, Andrew Luck. I'll take T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, that was
how old
was
is
the other
T.Y.?
Guy.
28, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
And then with my 12th pick, this is probably going out on a little bit of a limb, but he is my number 12 wide receiver in dynasty rankings. I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs.
Yep. Okay, so we've got 13 off the board. They are Beckham, Hopkins, Brown, Julio, Thomas, Evans, Green, Adams, Allen, Tyreek Hill. That's 10. Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs. That means I'm up. We have two picks.
This
left,
is the
right?
These next two picks should be fun.
I only have two more names on my, or three more names on my list. One of them, I just think I was being silly. Calvin Ridley. I don't think you can justify it.
He's not my number one rookie.
Yeah, Moore is.
Yes.
Understood. I'm gonna take Alshon Jeffrey here. Pair him with one of the best quarterbacks, in my opinion, in the NFL. Jeffrey, I'm a little concerned about him this year. Don't know if he'll be ready for the start of the season, but I think the future is bright for Alshon Jeffrey and the Eagles. So give me a 28-year-old Alshon Jeffrey. Dave, you have the last pick.
We've got a 30-year-old Doug Baldwin. He'll be 30 by week 3 of the season. Demaryius Thomas has already turned 30. Amari Cooper is relatively young. Josh Gordon is relatively young. Allen Robinson, fairly young. It's a tough call between that whole group. But when I play Dynasty, I try not to be so focused on age and longevity. When I start up a team in a Dynasty League, I want to try and win now. And so with that in mind, I am going to take Doug Baldwin. I'm not going to expect him to be good for 5, 6, 7 years, but I think he'll be pretty good for the next couple of years. And that's all I need.
And you've already got 4 receivers on your team for the future.
Yeah, see? So he's like my number – he's my wide receiver 4.
He is my 19th wide receiver, but I think Dave's explanation is a perfect reason to take him there. My highest – go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, Amari Cooper would have been the slam dunk choice if I thought his career could turn around with John Gruden. And I think he can get a good year with John Gruden, but I don't know if he's going to be the standout – stud that I was hoping he would be when he came out of college several years ago. He just hasn't proven it. So it's kind of a no confidence vote on Cooper. It's a no confidence vote on Josh Gordon. Same thing with Allen Robinson. I don't know how long he's going to be able to be great for fantasy. So all these guys maybe have a 2, 3, 4 year window. I'll take Baldwin for 2 or 3 years and worry about my young wide receivers later on in the draft.
And I guess the first controversy of the show, you guys both discussed like a half dozen receivers you were considering taking. You never got to my number 13 wide receiver in Dynasty, which is?
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the list now, and I regret not having him on. Go ahead, Heath.
Juju Smith-Schuster. He is 22.
Oh, he's young.
And was outstanding when he got opportunity last year. And I think he's a top 24 receiver this year with Antonio Brown there. I got Juju just ahead of Amari Cooper at 14 and Allen Robinson at 15.
So wide receiver is obviously different than running back in that quarterback matters for both positions, but clearly it matters more for your wide receiver. I don't know how much longer Roethlisberger plays. You know what I mean? And I have no problem with Juju there, but go ahead.
I don't know that there's a lot of long-term certainty for any of the guys left. I agree with what Dave said about Amari Cooper. This Gruden thing, it could go a lot of different ways, but there's, what, a 25% chance that it's just a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson is with a quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky that hasn't proven anything at all. We've got the target concerns for Cooks, the change of scenery for Jarvis Landry, Baldwin's age, Alshon's injury and history and volume concerns. It's a bit of a mixed bag after you get past, I think, the top 11.
How old is Jarvis Landry? Anybody know off the top of their head?
I'd guess 27.
What's your guess, Adam? Everybody else
Beckham's
at home, 25. Go ahead and guess.
I'm going to say he's 26.
He's 25.
Okay.
Maybe he should be in consideration. Now, in PPR, I think it's an easy case to make. But maybe he should be in consideration in what we're doing here, too.
I was basing
this on
PPR.
Because what he's doing and what we've seen him, what we know Jarvis Landry to be, is something he can continue doing for 8, 9
years.
But
why would you take Jarvis Landry over Josh Gordon in Dynasty?
Because I don't know how many more years Josh Gordon's going to play in the National Football League.
Well, he's 27.
We all know that he's, you know, one mistake away from being banished.
That's true. That is true. All right, why don't we come back to this a little bit later? So okay. Good stuff. Thank you. And Heath will dive into it a little bit later on in the show. Let's read an email. Email of the day is from John in Brooklyn, and we're going to talk about Brandon Marshall in just a little bit. John says, "Dear rabbit, antelope, bear, and elk." I mean, is that a thing other than just animals?
I don't know. You can't eat bear. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. No, I still have no idea. Never mind. Can you explain how you're ranking Kareem Hunt so high? I can't help but think he'll take a decent step back for the following reasons. Mahomes will be passing and running. Their D should have them chasing points. Spencer Ware will be back, just to take some work away. And sophomore slump. I like him as a top 10 back, but top 10 overall seems awfully optimistic for Kareem Hunt. P.S. Dave, have you tried Cracklin' Oat Bran with Greek yogurt yet? You promised me and my girlfriend a full report.
Oh, I sure did. I haven't done it yet.
Dave's made a lot of promises about things he's going to be doing.
I'm
going
to be a great politician someday. no, I'm going to have to work on the
Have
COB
you practiced your
yogurt.
Rap yet?
I've been listening to I Wish, and I have an idea on how I'm going to end it.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's happening. Oh, I'm not backing away from it at all.
I didn't forget about it.
No, we're doing we're gonna do that during training camp when we have the full audience. So yeah, Kareem Hunt. It's hard to find people that feel this way about Kareem Hunt, but it happens. We get sophomore slumps. We get disappointments. Why are we so high on Kareem Hunt as a top 10 overall player?
The second concern is the only one that bothers me. As far as Mahomes passing and running, I can't imagine he's going to run more than Alex Smith did. I mean, Alex Smith was already one of the most running-prone quarterbacks in the league. I don't worry about Spencer Ware. I'm more worried about whether Spencer Ware is going to be back to like, – he was already kind of a mediocre athletic guy, and he was cut by the Seahawks, right, before he came to Kansas City?
He was cut by somebody.
And they signed Damian Williams. I'm not sure that he's back to being himself or that he's going to be a threat at all. I don't, the sophomore slump thing, I'm not really, but the defense is a possibility of a reason why they don't run the ball as much.
I'll tell you what my biggest concern is about Kareem Hunt. And I think I have him ranked the highest of the three of us. The Chiefs schedule, I'm doing my schedule analysis. You know how I break down every team's schedule, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kansas City's got the toughest schedule of anybody in the NFL. Think about their conference, or think about their division. Oakland isn't anything to worry about, but I think Denver's defense and their front seven is very good. I think the Chargers' front seven is very good. Kansas City and the AFC West are going to have dates with the NFC West. That's the Rams, the Seahawks, who I still think have a good front seven. 49ers have a promising front seven. Arizona isn't bad against the run.
It's tough. You're right.
They've got games against the AFC North. That's the Steelers, Ravens, Bengals. Those are tough defenses. Browns.
Well, Dave,
maybe
the
not
only
this
thing,
year.
The only thing I'll say is the Steelers were really bad against the run after Shazier got hurt.
Right, but now they've got a whole offseason to try and fix that, so they won't be caught with their collective pants down. And I think it's going to be hard, and it's only one game. But the thing that I can't get out of my mind when it comes to Kareem Hunt is that the offense, as we expect it to be in 2018, will throw deep a lot. How can you stack the box against Kareem Hunt with the threat of Tyreek Hill on one side, Sammy Watkins on the other, and Travis Kelce roaming over the middle? And it's that plus Kareem Hunt has said that he's working on his receiving skills. It's that makes me feel good about Kareem Hunt mm-hmm. this year. On top of the fact that there isn't a lot of competition for him at the goal line, on third downs, in the 2-minute drill. That dude's going to get a lot of work this year.
Yep.
He might be a bus candidate in 2019 because he gets so much work in 2018.
So Kareem Hunt was the number three running back in fantasy last year, and he led the NFL in rushing. And that was with a 7-game stretch, about half his season. See, really, he played 16 games, really only played 15. He had one carry in week 17 when they were resting. 7-game stretch with no touchdowns, 14 carries per game, 3.3 yards per carry. And people got really annoyed with Kareem Hunt. Now, you look at the schedule, he had some pretty tough matchups in those 7 games. So I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into that. Did he just beat up on the easy opponents? Because Dave just said that the Chiefs have a tough schedule. But still, I mean, such a great rookie season, 4.9 yards per carry. Was it his first carry of his career he fumbled and then not again for the rest of the year?
One of the first ones, yes.
And he didn't fumble at all in college, right? Or he had some crazy streak of, yeah, he's not a fumbler, so that's a good thing.
I cried when it happened because you know how big I was on Kareem Hunt.
I laughed pretty
hard when Dave was crying.
All right, so there you go. And Dave is going to let you know all about Cracklin' Oat Bran with Greek yogurt. And just so everybody knows, if you are making tacos, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Making tacos, go ahead and substitute sour cream with Greek yogurt. Put Greek yogurt on there. Much healthier. You won't even know the difference. It is freaking delicious.
No, thank you.
I'm telling you, Heath, it's so good.
Nope.
Yeah, yes. I'm not
Are you a big sour cream fan, Heath?
I generally put sour cream. I'm not putting Greek yogurt on my tacos.
Yes, you are. You will not.
Well, if you go to
so
Adam's
good.
House one day for like a whiskey
I didn't even get invited
party.
To his wedding. How am I getting invited to his house?
Plain Greek yogurt.
Yeah. I'll try
good.
It.
No, thanks.
It's really
no,
good.
No, you won't.
I will too.
I swear.
Are you going to give us a full report?
I will go get tacos and Greek yogurt and Cracklin' Oat Bran and bring it into the podcast studio tomorrow.
And rep while you're doing it?
It's going to be a mess. It's not going to look good, but if that's what I got to do, then that's what I'll do.
True or false, buy or sell. I, Adam Azer, am a geek.
Oh, true.
Bye.
Yeah.
But we all are.
Yeah, but I'm a different.
All four of us.
I'm a different type of geek. I am a seat geek. Oh, what a great way to get into a sponsored read. And I can save you $20 on the SeatGeek app because my listeners can use the promo code FFT when they use SeatGeek, and you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. If you have not tried SeatGeek, the only thing I can say is that it is the sour cream. Or no, it is the Greek yogurt. It is the Greek yogurt of apps. It is awesome. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites. So if you need sports, concerts, comedy, theater, you make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket. You get the most bang for your buck. You can immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. So I really do use SeatGeek all the time. I'm going to try to get to a Yankees game pretty soon. I'm going to try to get to that Giants-Eagles Thursday night game for sure. The first place I look is SeatGeek, and I always find the best prices. In fact, got an email from a listener just the other day thanking us for telling him about SeatGeek. Now, the other reason to use it is to save that $20 on your first purchase. So you need next time you're going to an event, say to yourself, oh, what was that app they told me about on the podcast? It's SeatGeek, and use the code FFT. Or go to SeatGeek.com. Use the code FFT for $20 off your first purchase. Seattle, have they officially signed Brandon Marshall?
It's official.
Hooray! I was on Sirius XM last night, and I was asked about it, and I think I said, I could not care less. I assume
I might disagree with you.
Whoa, really? I'm shocked. I really am.
I think this is not a bad place for Marshall to go play the Jimmy Graham role. He could possibly have an impact in the red zone, average 9 or 10 yards per catch, 57 catches, 650 yards, 7 touchdowns. May help Russell Wilson in the red zone a little bit as well.
Oh, okay. Actually, that's exactly what I said. I said if he's going to have an impact, it's going to be as a touchdown guy. Jimmy Graham at 520 yards and 10 touchdowns. You know what? Let's do a fun exercise here. Let's see. Let's take Jimmy Graham's point total from last year, when he was the number 4 tight end, and let's see where he would have ranked as a wide receiver. Like, if Brandon Marshall were tight end eligible, I'd be pretty excited.
I'd be excited about a lot of receivers if they were tight end eligible. By the way, Heath right now is Jim the Anvil Neidharting his beard.
What is that?
Remember Jim the Anvil Neidhart's beard? And, like, when he would do his evil promos, he would stroke it in a gentle, maniacal way. Heath is being gentle and maniacal with his
beard. I'm not supposed to make any comments about podcasting in the dark, right?
You can. But,
I mean, it's not totally dark.
You guys are, yeah, it is dark in your room. It's very weird. Jimmy Graham would have been the number 27 wide receiver in non-PPR, probably lower in PPR. All right, so tell me, guys, do you want to draft Brandon Marshall?
No.
I don't want to draft Brandon Marshall, but in a draft that went 18 to 20 rounds, I would.
Okay.
When would you start him? What's the point?
Well, in a draft that goes 18 to 20 rounds, you have deeper benches. I might start him in a, like, if it turns out that the Seattle, even though they invested in a running back, still can't run the ball and Russell Wilson's throwing it 40 times a game and their defense is terrible, I may end up starting him during the bye weeks.
I'm not certain he finishes training camp with the Seahawks.
That's possible too.
I don't know what he's got left in the tank. I know it's fun to think about, well, maybe he'll be a tight end. But they're still going to line him up like he's a wide receiver. And they're not going to put him in the slot very often because Doug Baldwin is the specialist there. He doesn't have the speed down the sidelines. And Russell Wilson, I believe, I tweeted this out. He has, not that we're expecting 1,000 yards from Brandon Marshall, but he's never had 1,000 yards with one of his outside receivers, ever. Came close once with Sidney Rice.
Yeah, I'll tell you
so
something.
So that means you're going to need the touchdowns from Brandon Marshall. Good luck predicting when Brandon Marshall is going to score.
Yeah. I'm just happy he gets to go play with a good quarterback finally.
I do think he can score week 2 at Chicago.
So
but after that, all bets are off.
Marshall coming off just a terrible year with the Giants, and he's 34. I'll just say this about not just Marshall, but any wide receiver on the Seahawks. I think the only time that Russell Wilson has produced two top 24 wide receivers was Wilson's rookie year, and Golden Tate was that number 2 receiver. And he only had 688 yards and 7 touchdowns, which wouldn't cut it as a number 2 these days. So recently, it's Baldwin, and then it's pretty much nobody else except maybe a tight end. Now, Graham's gone, so that could help. But this is a guy, Russell Wilson, who usually throws for about 4,000 yards a year. So just keep that in mind. Another news item. Sean McVay says Jared Goff is becoming the extension of the coaching staff. Basically, he knows the offense even better now. It's year two. He's the man, Jared Goff. All right. How about this report from The Athletic? Doug Martin could push Marshawn Lynch for the starting job.
Oh, here we go again. It makes sense. Doug Martin's looking good season.
Yeah. Good Doug Martin is better than current Marshawn Lynch.
No.
Well,
I don't think so. I'll take current Marshawn Lynch.
What about good Marshawn Lynch in that case? What about the?
I think Marshawn Lynch is still pretty good right now. And good Doug Martin usually goes away by like week four or week five.
He's had two good seasons.
Who? Doug Martin?
Yes.
Yeah, out of six. I mean, but they are, you know, the first one was 3 years after the second one. So he's basically, if you follow that pattern, he's due for like a 1,400-yard, 4.5-yard per carry season. And nobody's cares about this. I mean, we're going to have to
see.
He's
a better late-round dart throw than Brandon Marshall.
That is correct.
Christian McCaffrey says he's put on 5 pounds of muscle, or 5 pounds. No, he put on like five muscles. He's ripped. He's ripped out of his mind.
What? Can we just read the Christian McCaffrey quote?
What,
he put on 5 pounds of muscle?
I don't know. What was the quote?
I don't know.
He said he gained 5 pounds.
Okay.
He looks enormous. Do you guys have anything to say about his physique?
No.
Okay. All right, then. Let's move on.
I think he's just trying to be a little more physical, right? He wants to bulk up so that he can handle the between the tackle carries. Is that what we're going for here, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, that could be. I don't think he's going to lose any speed. That's my guess. Tampa Bay could be interested in Adrian Peterson, according to Florida Football Insiders. Fantasy owners will not be interested in Adrian Peterson. Carson Wentz.
Oh, there will be some.
Carson Wentz is jogging without a hitch. He's
looking pretty good in what I've seen.
Good. Yeah. And Cleveland defensive back Demarius Randall could be on the hook for over $1 million in NBA jerseys if the Cavs beat the Warriors.
He had to clarify that today. He did not expect that to take off like it did.
Good. And Odell Beckham is close to being medically cleared. So what's the final thing now with Demarius Randall? What is he willing to give up?
No, I think he's just going with the it was a joke.
Oh, okay. Pretty weak. What are the odds, guys? Let's play another round of America's least favorite fantasy football game. What are the odds Michael Crabtree is better than Amari Cooper?
3-1. In standard, sure. In PPR, I think it may be closer to 50-50. Maybe 60-40.
I'm not feeling it as much. I think Cooper will finish better than Crabtree in both. It's closer in PPR, like you're insinuating. But you want to talk about tough schedules? Baltimore's got one too. And I know Crabtree has been good the past couple of years. A lot of it's been rooted in touchdowns. And I'm not sure he's going to get you 8 or 9. He's a good number 3 fantasy receiver. Cooper, you're drafting to be a number 2.
I just don't see how they don't throw it to him 130 or 140 times. They don't have, like.
But I think Cooper's going to get that type of work, too.
I hope he does. I really hope he does.
Just based on what I have noticed in Gruden's track record, which, honestly, given what we've seen from John Gruden's moves this offseason, isn't necessarily changing. I think Cooper's going to be featured a ton.
Okay.
Maybe it comes down to health between these two. Maybe that should be factored in.
No, I mean, I'm assuming same amount of games. All right, what are the odds? Look, every year we have busts that don't really make any sense. What are the odds that Kenyon Drake is just a total bust this year?
I'm kind of into Kenyon Drake. I'm not going to say I'm maybe like 10 to 11. I think he's a favorite to be good, not an underdog at all.
10 to 11?
Yeah.
So it's about even that he could be a bust. Or 10 to 1.
No.
Let's just say, because even I'm confused.
Percentage chance?
Good, bad, low, high.
We like to be pretty exact on this podcast, Adam.
Yeah, maybe I should change the title to What Are the Chances instead of What Are the Odds? What are the chances that Kenyon Drake is a total bust this year?
I think there's a less than 50% chance.
I would agree with that assessment. I think it may be 25% chance.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Let's
maybe 33.
I'm going to say 28.76415.
What are the chances Joe Mixon makes himself a first-round pick in 2019 with such a big year in 2018? Joe Mixon.
22%.
I'll take the under, Bob.
Yeah? Not feeling
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he'll be a first-round pick. I think the best he'll be is, oh, wow, he had 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, had a couple of real good games for fantasy owners. Maybe a look at him toward the end of round 2, beginning of round 3.
What is I'll take the under, Bob? Is that supposed
I
to
just
be price,
made it up.
Price is Right? Or
No.
Okay. What are the chances Julio Jones, for the second time in his career, scores 10 or more touchdowns?
I'll take the under, Bob.
30%.
This is the
I'll
year.
I'll take the under, Heath.
62%. It's going to happen.
What? Based on?
Based on this. There's no freaking reason why it shouldn't happen.
But it's only happened once before in the history of time.
And it does not make sense.
I think the odds for any NFL receiver are lower than 50-50.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's higher than that for Beckham and for Brown.
That's fair.
And Julio should be in their class.
Agreed.
He's pretty close to their class, but we've seen quite a track record of Julio not getting double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah, we have.
We've also seen the Falcons add another piece to their passing game, which I don't think is going to make it easier for Jones to score a lot of touchdowns. It's just going to make it harder on defenses to pick their poison when they get in the red zone.
Then how is that not making it easier for Julio Jones to score more touchdowns?
More? Yes. He had 3 last year. He's going to score more than 3. But 10 is a big number.
See, I try to look at it from, I think 7 is the most likely. And so 3 more than the most likely isn't really that out of the ordinary.
All righty. Let's see. We got another show tomorrow, so let's go to let's do emails, and then we'll finish with Dynasty wide receiver rankings. All right, first email is from Peter in Raleigh. Rather than answer specific keeper questions, I think you could do a segment on keeper strategy. Studs approach, looking to hold on to your top talent no matter what the cost is, like keeping someone like Bell or Gurley for a first-round price. Or are you all about value? Keep the players with the largest difference between ADP and keeper round price, like a Jerick McKinnon. How does this change based on size of the league or the number of players you keep? How does it change if you know based on what you know about who the rest of your league is keeping or how many keepers you have? So this is not the first time someone has asked this. I think it's a difficult question to ask. It's sort of case specific to me in terms of keeping the stud or keeping the great value. What do you guys think about keeper strategy? Yeah,
I agree. You can't come up with a cover all the bases strategy on what to do with keepers when we'll get one email from somebody who says that they're in a full point PPR. He can only keep one guy and it's player A in the first round, player B in the ninth round, player C in the 12th round. And then the next email comes, he's in a standard league. He can keep 5 guys. He's already keeping this guy, that guy, that guy, and that guy. And then it's 2 players in rounds 2 or 4. Like it really is on a case by case basis.
In a more shallow league, I'm much more likely to keep the studs. And I really probably lean towards that approach anyway.
Right. It doesn't really matter what the size of the league is. Right?
Well, it does, because in a shallow league, you can fill the end of your roster spot with players that are good. In a deeper league where the waiver wire is just awful, the value and balance matters a little bit more.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. You can keep Todd Gurley in the first round, or you can keep Kareem Hunt in which round? How high do you have to go or low do you have to go when the answer goes from Gurley to Hunt? You know what I mean?
If it's just a one keeper league, I'd say 3rd.
And how long can I keep these guys for?
Well, that's the other
case specific.
They're basically the same age though, aren't they?
But it's a case specific type thing.
And also,
how long can I keep them at that value?
Right. Is it like, well, you lose a round every
Hunt's
year?
Does Hunt's value change from Like if I took Hunt round answer seven last year, is he round five this year?
Third round.
I would probably settle on third or fourth round for Hunt over Gurley.
Okay.
But I'm the guy that, you know, I'd rather have the sure thing when we're talking keepers rather than get hung up on value.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a few more emails here. Just a regular keeper question. Tyler from Northwest Missouri. Dear Mike, Alex, and Alcides.
Those are Kansas City Royals.
They are. And not very good ones. Well, that's not true. 10-person keeper league.
World champions.
They are. You're right.
I want to know if Dave knows a city in Northwest Missouri.
Northwest Missouri? Isn't Columbia around there?
That's right in the middle.
So technically maybe.
Right, I'm going to say Maryville.
Right in the middle of Northwest Missouri. 10-person keeper league, it's PPR. Zach Ertz in the 7th or Dalvin Cook in the 5th?
Cook.
What's the capital of Missouri?
Jefferson City.
Where's that?
Right next to Columbia.
So is it maybe a little north or west of Columbia?
It is south of Columbia.
So Columbia then would probably be the better Northwest city.
Other than Jefferson City or Columbus, yes.
Okay, from Nick. And where's Nick from, Dave?
Nick is from Hazardville, Connecticut.
Grade the trade. Dear Michael, Joe, Earl, and Demarius. Thomas's? Yeah. 10-team half PPR. $200 auction keeper league. 4-year maximum keepers. 6 point for passing touchdown. 8 point for receiving touchdowns. 10 points for rushing touchdowns. So, wow. Would you rather have a $12 Kareem Hunt? Well, you give up a $12 Kareem Hunt for an $8 Travis Kelce and a $6 Adam Thielen. Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, there's no chance.
I would not do that.
Yeah, that's a D minus. All right, this is from Arnold from the place with the best Mexican, Asian, and Mediterranean food, which he says is Los Angeles. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Henry, Tommy, Jimmy, and Paulie. How am I funny? Goodfellas. Keeper question.
I want you to keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Funny how.
I'm use you. 12-team PPR league. Should I keep Todd Gurley as my third? Oh, this is good here. Todd Gurley third round or Aaron Rodgers in the 15th round?
That is good.
PPR.
But I'm still going to go Gurley.
All right.
I wonder if Jamie would take Rodgers here.
Because
Jamie tends to skew more toward amazing, incredible values.
Let me text
and
Jamie.
They don't come much better than Aaron Rodgers in the 15th round.
In a PPR league, now it auto-corrected to pod league. In a PPR, now it's, come on, stupid phone. All right, I'll text Jamie. This is from Jeremy in Topeka. Dear Jefferson, Kane, Mac, and Lattimore. Yeah, I don't know.
Those are definitely not cities in Northwest Missouri.
They're not. 10-team standard scoring league. It is two receivers and a flex. I can keep up to three players. Players can only be kept twice, and keepers make up the first three rounds. So who do I keep out of? Le'Veon Bell can be kept once more. David Johnson can be kept once more. Michael Thomas can be kept twice. Alvin Kamara can be kept twice. He needs three of those four. Bell and Johnson, one more year. Michael Thomas and Kamara, two more years.
I'd go Bell, Thomas, Kamara.
I would too. Bell. Running back heavy.
So no David Johnson?
No. Did you say Johnson or Thomas?
I said Thomas.
Okay. I'm going to go in a different direction then. I must have answered it in my head when you were talking. Bell, Johnson, and Kamara for me. I'll take the three running backs.
Now let's talk Dynasty rankings with Heath Cummings, wide receiver rankings in Dynasty formats. Okay, so I think the Juju conversation was pretty interesting. Where should we pick it up, Heath? Anything that we missed here?
I don't think there's really much of consequence in the top 11. We talked about Diggs. I have at 12, Juju at 13, Amari Cooper at 14, Robinson at 15, Cooks at 16, Landry at 17. I'm kind of waiting for one of you to jump up and say that's dumb or yell at me.
No.
God!
The whole thing is dumb, Heath. I can't just single out one thing. You know that.
Thielen is 18, Baldwin 19, Jeffrey 20, Here's the fun little name. Corey Davis at 21.
Yeah, there we go. And Josh Gordon at 22. Corey Davis, Josh Gordon, back-to-back, just outside the top 20.
And there are a couple of guys that I think have enormous talent that if I knew Josh Gordon was going to play the next 5 years without consequence,
he'd be so much higher.
He would probably be 10. Corey Davis could go anywhere from top 10 by the end of this year to outside of the top 50.
So if I'm in a dynasty league, I would be nervous to take him where you have him ranked because of that.
I can understand that.
Because another bad year,
his value's
or gone. Another year where his hamstring flares up. Yeah.
But
I can't take him over Demarius or Marvin Jones even. Not that Marvin Jones is going to be great, but
see the difference for me is I think Corey Davis has number one wide receiver potential in fantasy.
Yes.
I think if he delivers on his potential, he's a guy that I don't see any situation where Demarius or Marvin Jones or Golden Tate are getting up to that tier.
So it's almost like you're taking the upside that you believe Davis still has.
But there is risk there.
Those other guys feel like kind of sort of sure things where they're not necessarily going to get you 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns, but they'll be productive and will give you several good weeks for your fantasy teams over the next 2 to 3 years.
And that balance may have more to do with who you've got on your roster when it comes time to make that pick. And whether you feel like you need a little safety and security or whether you want to chase the upside of Davis.
Yeah. So to me, it feels like it's a risk issue. If you're a risk taker, then you're going to be all over Corey Davis, maybe even sooner than where Heath has him ranked. And if you're risk averse, you're going to wait and hope to get him. But what I'll tell you this is that with guys who have that type of upside, you don't have to dig into Corey Davis to get it. You can find it with other wide receivers, including the three that were drafted that we've talked about ad nauseum on the podcast in this past draft.
See, I don't think any of those guys have Corey Davis upside.
So who's,
I think they all might have it eventually.
Who's the third? It's Moore, Ridley, and Gallup?
No, Anthony Miller.
Oh, Anthony Miller.
I thought it was
right.
Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the wide receiver position, if we're doing a startup dynasty, is still very veteran heavy.
I think it's partially because we have so many really, like, the top 10, just an elite group of wide receivers. It's more because the last two, if you count what the rookies did last year and then this class coming in, I think it's a pair of underwhelming classes of receivers.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I have nothing to base it off of, but I just do really like Calvin Ridley. But you have Moore 27th?
Moore is 27th, yes. Ridley at 31.
And who are some of the names in between? So it's Corey Davis, 21, Josh Gordon, 22, Sammy Watkins, 23, Demarius, 24, back-to-back Lions, Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, 25 and 6, DJ Moore, Devontae Parker, Cooper Kupp, Sterling Shepard is 30, and then Calvin Ridley, Devin Funchess. There's one that seems to be missing here. Not missing, but where's
Christian
Robert?
Kirk?
No, where's Robert Woods? I was just thinking because you have Kupp. Did I already pass him?
No, he is down at 39.
Okay. So, yeah, Brandon Cook, 16, Cooper Kupp, 29, Robert Woods, 39. That's interesting. Dave, what stands out to you as you look at, like, the 20s in his rankings?
As I look in the 20s in his rankings, I'm surprised that Devontae Parker is as high as he is. I would rather have Cooper Kupp. I think Kupp's going to be a good, solid receiver for a long time. Maybe a couple of years where he's over 900 yards and 7 touchdowns, but a lot of a good, solid years where in a PPR he'll absolutely help you out. And I think this list gets ugly really quick. I know you told me to talk about the 20s, but...
No, go ahead.
I mean, I'm going to scroll down to Crabtree at 34, Marquise Goodwin at 35, Aguilar at 36, Will Fuller at 37. And I don't like a lot of these guys for long term. Some of them can sit on my bench, but I think the combination of like this is where I would go and get Anthony Miller. Like, I'm wondering what's kind of wrong with you that Anthony Miller's 41st.
I don't know that Anthony Miller has.
Yeah, I'm behind Dante Pettis. Really?
Yeah. I don't know that he has big upside, and he doesn't have much opportunity for targets at all the next couple of years.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I was actually talking about this with Pete Prisco today, how we all agree that Allen Robinson's going to be that lead target getter in Chicago, provided he stays healthy, yada, yada, yada. But I think that the sooner that Miller can acclimate to the NFL level, the sooner his coaches will put him in more situations where they could take advantage of his speed and his hands. I think he's got great hands. I think he can run great routes, and he's electrifying on the field. He's not a big dude, but he's got big hands. And I've said this about him before. He runs faster than what he was timed, and he plays bigger than what he was measured at. And it's that's the type of thing that I'm looking at for a wide receiver when we're past round six and round seven in a dynasty league draft. And I want to start taking shots on guys with serious upside. Like I talked about Cooper Kupp's upside, and I kind of my way through it. Like, yeah, I'll have a couple good years. I'm excited about Anthony Miller, and I think his upside is way better than a lot of the guys in front of him.
I think
it might be the way you feel about Christian Kirk. Like, I wonder if the way I feel about Miller is the way you feel about Christian Kirk.
I think there are some similarities between the two. The difference for me is that Kirk is probably 1 year away from being the number one receiver in that offense, and there's not a tight end to worry about. I mean, Ricky Seals, Jones, whatever. I expect the Bears are going to throw the ball over the next 2, 3, 4 years, however long this group stays together, a lot to their tight end. I expect Trey Burton's going to be heavily involved. I think Allen Robinson is the clear number one wide receiver. And then I don't expect Tariq Cohen to just completely disappear. I'd expect he's going to get a larger share of the targets than a majority of running backs do. So I just don't see and I think it's unlikely he's the number two wide receiver. I think he's more of a slot guy, at least as a rookie. And then maybe he can move outside as he gets stronger.
If he's that as a rookie, then he won't be very good this year because he won't play that much because Burton's going to be in that slot.
Yeah, I think so. And if he can win the number two job, I still think he's probably looking at like 75, 80 targets this year.
Your list has convinced me, Heath, that if I'm doing a startup dynasty league, 3 of my first 4 picks will be wide receivers because I just don't want to pick from scrolling down on Heath's rankings. Robbie Anderson, although I kind of don't mind Robbie, Chris Hogan, Manny Sanders, Alan Hearns, Josh Doctson. I mean, these are guys that I wouldn't even be excited to sit on and wait to see what happens with at this point.
You know what? Robbie Anderson is a guy that needs to move up in my rankings, probably 10 spots.
You know,
does he have a long-term
outlook
that you can.
I was impressed with what he did last year.
Me too.
I think he developed into more of a complete receiver. I put this list together. My last time I updated my dynasty rankings was about 2 weeks ago, I think was when we originally put this together and started doing the positions. And there's been some information that's come out about his most recent run-in with the law that paints him in a little more favorable light. I was more concerned because he'd had a couple of things pop up. I was more concerned in a Josh Gordon way with him than I am now.
Well, so, the fact that he had those run-ins could still...
It could.
Just because he wasn't charged
but
doesn't
I don't,
mean that he it, won't have future issues down the line. I agree. I think he's got great talent. But I think there's risk with him, and I think you bake that into where you ranked him at 45.
That's Robbie Anderson you're talking about. I think Mike Williams... is a little low. 43rd for you. A lost season last year because of injury. But top 10 pick in the NFL draft. I would love to get... I hope I wouldn't have to start him, but I would love to have Mike Williams on my bench in a dynasty league.
I agree with you. I think if you like Mike Williams' upside, and I did a year ago, what I didn't like last year was the things that I heard, the rumblings that I heard, that I don't know that he's was ever quite the same. Maybe he comes back in camp this year and he looks like Mike Williams again.
I just saw one positive report on him. It's not much to go on at this point, but the other thing, last thing on this is that we're always looking for number one wide receivers. That's huge. I mean, you said Christian Kirk could be the number one guy there next year in Arizona after Fitzgerald presumably retires. There are 3 guys that I think are number two wide receivers in great offenses. And I want a piece of them, and that's Calvin Ridley, Nelson Aguilar, and Will Fuller, who are all in the 30s for you. And I don't think they have huge upside, but I think they could be very, very solid starters. So, I mean, I'm not saying like your rankings are wrong, but, you know, I look at a list of 30 guys and I'm looking at 30 through 40 or 40 guys. I'm looking at that group of 10. Those are the ones that just sort of pop to me.
I think there's enormous upside with Fuller. I'd like to see him stay healthy. Aguilar, I just volume concerns for me.
Yeah. Right. I think they'll throw more. I know you don't. I guess we'll see. I mean, I think Nick Foles is going to throw the ball over the field, Heath.
Right. Well, I mean, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
MVP. Final thoughts?
I think we should end it with MVP.
MVP. Jamie says keep Todd Gurley in round three.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So he will not be swooned in by a late round value.
No. So thank you for listening. Today we did voicemail. Today we did emails. Tomorrow we'll do voicemails, and we'll talk to you then on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Na, 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 na.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. Sorry.
Bye.
Na, 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 na.
Bye. It's all right.